Welcome to the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. I am Ben Trueblood alongside John Paul Basham.
Yo!
We are back with another episode for you, dealing with student ministry topics that will challenge, encourage, uplift, and hopefully help you become a better all-around leader in student ministry. We do this podcast for you. And love doing it. So if you could let us know how we're doing, topics that you'd like us to discuss, and how we can get better, we would sure appreciate that. There are a couple ways that you can do that. One, through the Twitter. Mine is at Ben Trueblood. John Paul's is at John Paul Basham.
Yes, it is.
B-A-S-H-A-M. So you can hit us up there. Another way that you can do it that also at the same time helps other people find the podcast is through the iTunes rating and review system that involves stars and words. So it's important that you do both the stars and the words, and together they will help other people find the podcast and let us know what you think. So if you haven't taken the 30 seconds to head over there and do that, we sure would appreciate it. Well, I hope that your summer is coming along swimmingly. Which I've always wondered about that phrase.
Because swimming's hard work.
Right. That's what I was about to say. Like, it's doing something swimming. Like, if you're in there getting after it, like, you get wore out.
Yeah.
Which is probably accurate for the student ministry summer. It is probably going along swimmingly. You get the benefit of the exercise and the goodness. And it's really difficult. So you get the benefit of the good stuff of student ministry summer, but really hard at the same time.
Well, as long as you're still swimming and above water, you're in good shape.
Yeah, that's true. So this, we're into the summer by a few weeks now. So hopefully you are still above water and enjoying the extra time that you get to spend with teenagers and families in your ministry. Well, this is as good a time as any to have this topic that we're going to be covering today, because summer can, because there's a lack of schedule and everybody's kind of going and doing their own stuff as families. And even in the church, it can feel a little less organized and a little less together than a normal school year time frame. We're going to talk about a topic today that is the five things that you should do every week. Now, we want to recognize right off the bat, this is not an exhaustive list. There are other things that you should be doing every week, but we wanted to give you five that you definitely should be doing every week. And summertime, we would tell students, is a great time to help them develop habits and get into the rhythm of things like reading their Bible and doing that kind of stuff that will carry on perhaps when the school year begins. This is a great time for you to implement some new leadership and organizational habits in your own life that will stick around when normal ministry year begins this fall, and that, you know, get off to a good start. So this is a great time for you to begin some new healthy habits as well. So again, this is not an exhaustive list, but we do believe that these five things should be done every single week in student ministry.
And this list assumes that you're doing some of the things that you need to be doing, that, like, if you're a student ministry leader, I started to say you're already getting paid to do this. Some of you are doing this, you know, as a volunteer.
That's right.
But there's a general expectation that you will read and study and pray and be pursuing the Lord as a minister of the gospel. There's also a general expectation, probably, that you're going to deliver a message from the scripture at some point during the week, maybe multiple points during the week. So some of these things, we're not going to cover those. We're assuming those are being done.
Right.
These are maybe five things that you don't consider every week.
Yeah. So the first one is all about your planning. All right. So hopefully this can give you a framework in how to think about and structure your organizational mind. So there is a general thought, and sometimes this bothers me, and it gets me kind of riled up inside, that student pastors aren't gifted administratively. Mm. So that kind of bothers me, because I know there are some of you out there that are, and some of you out there are super organized, and sometimes student pastors get a bad rap for being unorganized, and it makes me angry. It makes me righteously angry.
And, you know, I think that that is warranted, but we've also earned our reputation. That's,
yeah. At the same time, I do know that there are some that struggle with this. So we, if you're one of those, perhaps if you're on the administrative side of things, maybe this will be a refresher for you. But for the rest who really do struggle with, man, what do I do when I get to the office? Like, I don't know how to structure my work week, and I don't know how to plan ahead, or you think you know how to plan ahead, but, you know, in your annual reviews and stuff, you're always hearing about, and you need to get better in this area. Here's a framework that you can use to help you get there. So every week in student ministry, you should be reviewing your next week's to-do list and making that, all right? So before you close out the week, think about next week and make it one of your tasks to complete every single week is thinking about what you have to get done next week. So that's step one. Step two of this is to think about the things that are coming up next month. So we're in June right now. If you think about, okay, what's coming up in July and what big things need to be done to be prepared for what happens in July, then make a list to execute those. So 1 week out, 1 month out, and then have a rolling 3 month view. All right. So if it's June right now, when the podcast release, you might be listening to this at another time of the year. So just sub in the months that apply. You should be looking at July, August, and September. What's happening in those months, and what can I do right now to relieve the stress and pressure and workload of those months that are coming? Now, again, this doesn't mean that you have to do every single thing required in order to execute something you have coming up in September, but it will be helpful for you to have this rolling 3 months, July, August, September. So in July, you're looking at August, September, and October, so that you know what's coming. And so that you can communicate well, so that you can make your announcements, so that you can begin to make your checklists for those events way in advance.
And you may ask, why 3 months? Why are we landing on 3 months? And one easy way to look at this is that this gives you, if you start this at the right time, this can give you a quarterly view of every year. So 3 months allows you to look at this in fall, winter, spring, summer. And when you look at a student ministry calendar, that is a big deal to see those things that way, because
right.
Ministry looks one way in the fall. It looks completely different in the winter. It looks completely different in the spring. And it's a whole new animal in the summer.
Yeah.
And so looking at that in a quarter by quarter view allows you to kind of segment out the differences between each season in your ministry in a very approachable way. So you don't have to have every element of the next 3 months or the next quarter fleshed out completely, but you need to already know this is the basic outline of what this is going to look like. And then that allows you to promote from one quarter to the next, hey, this is coming up, which is going to require you to have some details if there's registration necessary, if there are, you know, some parent meetings that need to happen. But your 1 month view allows you to kind of zoom into that. Okay, what are all the very specific details that need to happen inside of these smaller events? And then your 1 week is just the last minute. Like, I literally have to put these papers into folders to hand out to a leader.
Yeah.
That's your next week. This has got to happen.
Yeah. And if you're somebody who struggles with administrative tasks, then checklists need to be your friend. So if you're looking at this 3 month calendar and you're saying, okay, it's June right now, and the first week of August, I have this, then going ahead and forming a checklist for everything that needs to get done in order to execute that thing that's happening in August will allow you then, as you go back and make your week-to-week to-do list, you can funnel items from that far-off event in your week-to-week so that you're tackling these big chunks of work in little bites at a time, so that you don't get to the end of July and go, oh man, we've got this back to school thing next week and I have all of this stuff to do. And all of a sudden you're 60 hours at the church and away from your family all the time and not able to do some of the other functions of the ministry. Many times when that happens, it's because we have a failure to plan and execute on the front end.
Yeah. And those checklists are beautiful things because once you create one for, let's say, for Disciple Now, next year's Disciple Now is 75% done when that checklist is finished.
Yeah, that's right.
So you don't have to reinvent the whole deal. You don't have to say, what did we do last time? You create the checklist. You run the process. After the event, you tweak it. You go ahead and update the checklist. And then when it comes Disciple Now time again next year, you pull that checklist out and you run it again.
Yeah, that's right.
And you can do that for every kind of event that you're going to do, even the simple things. That also allows you to some flexibility. So 1 year something comes up and you've got some deadlines approaching and you're not able to do everything yourself for whatever reason. There's family demands. You're wearing a couple more hats at the church on staff this year than you were last year. You can pull in some volunteers that have said they will help you out, and you say, hey, here's our checklist. We just need to run this play right here. Let me know if you have any questions. It allows you to really scale your leadership and your volunteer engagement.
Yeah, and so those are the things that happen that are coming up right around the corner. 1 week, 1 month, 3 months. There is some value, too, to taking a six-month and year view to what's going on for big things. So like camp, you're probably going to want to have at least your spots reserved if you're going somewhere 9 months to a year in advance. So like I know the camps that we do here at Lifeway with Fuge and Student Life, we have churches registering right now for next summer to go ahead and get their spots reserved. Yeah. And there's not a whole lot that you have to do with that. It's just looking at your calendar in advance and saying, okay, we're about a year out, 9 months out from camp or Disciple Now or whatever. I need to go ahead and reserve my spots, get that on the calendar, and then I'll come back to it later on. But there are some like big things that you need to make sure stand out that just take a lot more time to plan, or the logistics of reserving a spot to make sure that you don't miss it. So like we have churches every single year that try to register for camp 3 months out and they don't get the week or location that they want because some people registered 9 months to a year out instead. And so make sure you're on top of that. So 1 week, 1 month, 3 month, and then for the big giant stuff, 6 months to a year. So that's one thing that you should be looking at and reviewing every single week. And if you've already got that camp spot held down, then you may not need to do that every week. But 1 week, 1 month, 3 month. And hopefully that gives you a framework.
Yeah, looking at the plan.
Yeah.
Is what you need to do every week. And hopefully every time you look at the plan, you're knocking some items off of there that you don't have to circle back around to.
Yeah. I think part of this conversation, too, is just the discipline of sitting in the work and knocking stuff out. You know, like it's not, for most people, this part of any job is not like the fun part of the job. And the discipline of sitting in the work and cranking through it is a learned skill that a lot of people just have to, it takes doing it in order to get better at it. So,
which is why I think student pastors often have the reputation that they have. Because the truth of that role is that a lot of us start in student ministry young.
Yeah.
So a senior pastor looks at a student pastor and says, gosh, why aren't they more organized? Like, surely I could get somebody in here that could think ahead a little bit. Well, that senior pastor has probably got 20 years on them.
Yeah.
They've been doing this a while. They were exactly the same way when they started in ministry, and everybody else was scratching their heads at what in the world they were doing.
They'd just forgotten.
Yeah. But it's just, it's time in the seat.
Yeah.
That teaches you the importance of doing that stuff.
Yeah, that's a great point. So that was number one. Number two, another thing that you should be doing every week is having a meaningful conversation with a leader. So we use the word meaningful here on purpose, not just having a conversation with a leader, because I think everybody knocks that out pretty well and probably have conversations with multiple leaders. And here we're talking specifically about those adult leaders that serve alongside you in ministry, whether it be your greeter, coordinator, or your small group leader, or the person who, you know, runs the grill for you at your event.
That are already engaged, not recruitment conversations.
Yeah. These are people who are in the ministry with you, alongside you, that you've already recruited. So the word meaningful there is important because it shows that you value that person and that you're taking the time to spend with them. John Paul, when you hear meaningful conversation with a leader, like, what comes to your mind in that word from like a tactical, here's how you do that perspective?
I mean, the first thing that comes to my mind is not necessarily tactical. It's this conviction that we need to actually care.
Yeah.
about our leaders.
That's a good point.
And so this, I know that I've served with a ton of leaders, had a ton of leaders in my ministry following my lead that I did not think about through the week at all. I would see them on Sunday, and maybe some that I was the closest to, something would come to mind, and, hey, how did this go? But I probably didn't pray about whatever I'm asking them about through the week, you know? Because you get into the weeds of the work, and you just start working, and you expect that, oh, well, I've put them in that spot, and they're going to run, and they're going to do their job, and I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing to make sure they can do their role, to make sure they have a small group to lead. I'm going to keep drawing these students in and keep them engaged, and we're just running in our lanes. But that's part of that. We've talked about this before, too. Actually, that might have been Student Pastor Network when we looked at Paul David Tripp's book.
Yeah, it was.
And he talks about not seeing people just as ministry projects, but actually caring and having a relationship with them.
Yeah.
And that really counts. And it counts not just to bolster your ministry, it counts for them as believers, as people who need to be in relationship and want to be shepherded and are there to support you. They want to know that they're running with you, not just that they're a cog in your student ministry machine.
Yeah, man, I think that's a great point. And I think there are a lot of times along the way where I know personally I could have done better in this specific one myself. And a lot of times this is going to be face-to-face. It's going to be taking the time to, whether it's go to coffee or sit down at lunch with them. Now, opposite gender, obviously, you have to have some considerations here and how you structure this. If you have a husband and wife that are serving in your area, you know, double up and have at the same time both of those people sitting there. So, you know, there's some guardrails that you need to put in place for this. But taking the time to care for their soul is a big part of your ministry. And yeah, Oftentimes I think we slide really quickly to caring for the souls of the teenagers and making sure that we're covering everything there when we really need to do a better job in this moment. And I think this one, you should consider your context of where you're serving and scale this appropriately to what your responsibilities at your church are. So if you're a volunteer student pastor or bivocational and you have a lot of other things going on in your life, then a goal of having one meaningful conversation with the leader each week is probably the sweet spot. And if you can handle more, then adjust this goal based on what you can handle. But somebody who is paid full-time, and even, you know, you get up to the larger churches where you have a dedicated administrative assistant that's going to help you do some of the things of your role, then you need to scale this to a point where you are having meaningful conversations more than one leader a week.
Yeah.
And I don't think we can say at this stage in your church, in your context, here's how many you need to do. I think it needs to start with one. And then you as the leader evaluate where you're at, how many leaders you have. You know, if you have 50 plus leaders, probably needs to be more than one a week, because you're not going to get through them in a year if you just have one.
Well, and if you've got 50 plus leaders, you've probably got somebody that's doing this with you.
Yeah.
You may have an associate. You may have a girls ministry director, you know, whatever it is. Even if it's your administrative assistant. Administrative assistants are huge parts of your ministry, and they're often having more meaningful conversations with leaders than you are, because the leaders are calling them to ask them the answers to all the questions that you said, I don't know, ask Christina.
That was the name of our admin when we served together, by the way.
Yeah.
She's a rock star.
So coaching them in that is a big deal too. As well as if you're in a ministry of that size, having that coaching role, small group leader coaches, volunteer coaches, those are people that you can mobilize to have those conversations too. They don't all have to happen with you, but you do need to make sure that you have the shepherding of your adult leadership in mind.
Yeah. And you, yeah. And John Paul's right. Like, you can organize this just like you would a small group. Like, you can't care for every student in your whole ministry by yourself. If, as your ministry grows, you can't care for every leader by yourself as the ministry grows and as more leaders come into play. But this is also something that you shouldn't farm out completely. Like, there shouldn't be a point where you get to, all right, I have these five small group coaches and they're going to do all the meaningful conversations, and I have now got to the point where they're all covered and I don't have to do it.
Yeah.
No, you, this is something that you still need to lean in on. So the first one, again, review your 1 week, 1 month, 3 month calendar, to-do list, have a meaningful conversation with a leader, and number three, meet in discipleship with a group of teenagers. So you can execute this a lot of different ways based on the context of your specific church. I know for a lot of years of ministry, this was like a Monday night Bible study thing that happened at my house that my wife and I would lead together. So there are a lot of ways other than that to do this. For some years in there, it was Hardee's on Thursday morning early before they had to be to school. And so, you know, get at this.
And the Monday night.
Yeah, that's true. And the Monday night. So there are a lot of ways to get at this, but it boils down to this thing. Every week, you should have a small group of teenagers that you meet with in discipleship. Those ones that you are going to pour into directly with your leadership. And really, this is a point where you're exampling to other small group leaders. You're putting into action the phrase, I'm not asking you to do something that I am not going to be willing to do. And man, as a student pastor, if you're not doing this, then just from a calling perspective, I think we're missing it.
Yeah. This may be a hard one for some of you if you're like many of us who have never been discipled by someone. Sitting down and figuring out what the discipleship of a student really looks like can be difficult if you've never genuinely experienced it. If you've just always been to Bible studies where you go and you learn and then you leave and you have no connection with the people there or the people that's teaching, then you're not really familiar with what discipleship looks like. And so this can be intimidating. That still can't be an excuse for you not to do it. You just have to, some of those things, you just have to bite the bullet and say, okay, we're just going to do this and figure it out.
Yeah. And oftentimes it's this moment that you spend with your small group that will be some of the most rewarding moments in ministry, the relationships that'll last forever, and the moments that you'll remember.
Man, this, so as we're recording this, we're 1 week away from me getting to preach a wedding of a young man that was in my ministry at Liberty. It was the coolest thing because I preached the wedding with his dad, who was my mentor, the man I realized my calling to ministry under. It was his son's wedding that we preached. So Jeff and I is the dad. He and I preached the wedding to his son Mason, and it was one of the coolest moments. I mean, it really felt like one of the highest honors that I've experienced in ministry. Because not only am I doing life and ministry still with my mentor, but we're performing this covenantal ceremony for his son and one of the guys that I got to disciple the closest all the way through his high school years, who is now in full-time ministry in Georgia. And it's just this kind of culmination of this relationship. Jeff pouring into me and yanking me out of a bunch of knucklehead decisions to say there's more behind this life than what you're seeing, and him launching me into ministry, and then us together pouring into Mason and launching him into ministry, and then taking part in his wedding. Like, those are the kind of things that this ongoing discipleship relationship with your students will begin to yield after a few years of digging in. And there is just nothing sweeter than that.
Yeah. That generational discipleship happening there.
Yeah.
That, which is super, super cool. Which kind of leads into the next piece of this, something that you should be involved in every week as a student pastor, and that's meeting in some type of mentoring, accountability, / community yourself. So, John Paul, where does talk about that? So you just mentioned Jeff as your mentor, and I know that you are involved in things. You met with yours this morning before we recorded the podcast. So talk about the importance of this piece of the weekly student ministry.
I think the biggest thing that I've learned here is that until about a year and a half ago, I don't think I let anyone truly know me. I think, like, Ben, you and I have had a lot of life talk. And, I mean, Ben is somebody that has poured himself into me as well. He gave me my start on three different occasions. And so we've had a lot of life conversation. We've had a lot of heart-to-heart talks. But still, just out of fear or, you know, whatever it is, still there was a constant, like, holding back. Like, you know, if I'm ever going to share a struggle, well, I can't share the whole struggle because I don't know what Ben may think of me in this moment, or I don't know what impact this may have on my ministry or whatever it is. And I think a lot of us get into that mistaken mindset that it has to be all put together. And so we'll share struggles, but we won't share the full struggle.
Yeah.
And when we do that, we don't allow ourselves to be fully known. And we also don't allow the other person the opportunity to make themselves fully known. Because when I withhold a little bit, that's sensed across the table. And there's this kind of standard, like, okay, we're not going to go all the way into this. And so if he's not, I'm not.
Yeah.
And you never really get deep into the root of what you're dealing with, good or bad. And I think that's the thing that has been the best lesson for me over the last year and a half or so, is just being willing to say, okay, here's the full depth. Here's the very bottom of this issue in my life. Now, you've got to be careful who you share that with. And that's got to be the right relationship, and it's not one that you just launch into tomorrow and say, all right, here's everything. Because you also need to be wise about who you're going there with, to make sure that they're going there with you. But when we're not known, there's secret sin in our life that will hinder every single thing that we're doing in ministry. And it's not until that sin is brought to the light that the Lord will truly deal with it. And I think he's waiting on so many of us to just say, here it is. You know, it's disgusting to me. It's disgusting to the Lord. So we're going to put it out there and we're going to deal with it. And I'm going to trust somebody to walk this with me. And they've got just as much dirt as you do. And you're both yearning to get rid of it, to let go of it, to get it off your chest. But we're just often too scared to say it. So that's the encouragement. Find somebody you can build a trusting relationship with that's running the same speed as you. Not one that... This is not where you're trying to disciple somebody else, okay? And this goes back to, can't just be a ministry project. Don't meet with somebody just to get them to point B or point C in their walk. This is where you say, here's where I need some love and some help, and where they have freedom to do the same. It's one of the most life-giving things.
So the result of not doing everything that John Paul just mentioned is that you live in isolation, and that's when issues can grow, sin can grow, struggles can grow, alongside with not ever experiencing what it's like for somebody to truly know you and walk with you and just exist in friendship and relationship. And it takes everything that John Paul just mentioned, and the danger there is the isolation. And I think it was Bonhoeffer that said, sin demands that a man be by himself.
Yeah.
And whenever we live and exist in that moment, man, it's so, so stinking dangerous. Can't reinforce enough how dangerous that moment is. So going back to the top, just as a quick review, 1 week, 1 month, 3 month planning calendars. Have a meaningful conversation with a leader. Scale that one based on your church context. Meet in discipleship with a group of teenagers. Meet with a mentor / accountability community situation for you. And then the final one that we're going to talk about today is communicate proactively. So here's a question that you need to be asking every single week before the week is over. Is there anything my pastor, other staff members, parents, volunteers need to know? And then if the answer is yes to that, now you're going to match this one up really closely with the very first one we talked about at the very top of the show, the review, the 1 week, 1 month, 3 month calendar so that you can plan out. This one's going to match up really closely with that one, because if there are things they need to know that are coming up in that time frame, then you can build a communication plan to make sure that they're aware. Your pastor doesn't like to be surprised unless it's the surprise that all these teenagers got saved and baptized in your service, right? Yeah,
that's
so
right.
Like those are the only kind of surprises that your pastor likes. And then the other staff members, is there anything that you're going to be doing that is going to require more resources outside of just the student ministry that they need to be involved with? Is there a transition coming up with sixth graders or fifth graders, depending on your context, moving into the student ministry? What needs to be done with the children's ministry around that? Those are all the kinds of things. And then parents and volunteer leaders the same way. Communicate well, and it's going to earn you a lot of points.
And I think sometimes there's a temptation to not be the guy that walks into every meeting with 1,000 things to say. That guy can be annoying in a meeting because everybody just wants to leave. That guy's normally not the one that finds himself in the pastor's office in trouble for anything, though.
Yeah, that's true.
So I think when we get frustrated, you know, sometimes we can just say, hey, how about just bringing this in a bulleted list? I mean, a lot of that is just inefficiency in communication. But you do need to be fully transparent about everything that's going on. You're not going to win with the ask forgiveness, you know,
right,
instead of permission approach. You're not going to win. It's going to catch up to you.
Yeah. It may seem easier to ask for forgiveness instead of permission, but it's never wiser.
Yeah. And it's only easier in that moment.
That's right.
And then it's way harder for the rest of the duration of that issue.
Yeah. And it can even linger with you in your time at that church.
Yeah. So over communicate. And this is especially to staff and parents and volunteers. Your students don't need to know everything. But just like pastor doesn't want to be caught off guard, the parents don't want to be caught off guard. They don't want to hear something for the first time from their students.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I'm supposed to be here tomorrow night at 6. You know, well, we already have plans. You know, what in the world? You're throwing a huge wrench and you're causing arguments at home.
Right.
Is what you're doing. So stop.
Yeah. And putting something out on your Instagram story as an announcement is not communicating with parents.
No.
You realize how few.
Yeah. The algorithm is making sure you're communicating to 6 parents really well.
Yeah. So make sure that you are communicating in frequency that's needed for the magnitude of the event or thing that you're planning, and match it up closely with the week, month, 3 month type view that you're already building with to-do lists and the framework for planning.
Yeah.
So these have been 5 things that we believe you should do every week in student ministry. Again, it's not an exhaustive list, but we do believe that these 5 things should be happening. I hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. We will see you next time.